Verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Father, thank you for bringing us here this morning. We enjoy being in your presence. We enjoy being with brothers and sisters. But Lord, we are here to learn from you. And we thank you and proclaim that this is the word of God. And this is the text that you have laid on my heart for your people today. Open it up to us. We want to take what you have to say and apply it and, Lord, experience it in our own lives, that you, Jesus, may be glorified and that our relationship may be deepened. And so bless your people who are here this morning, for I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was a student in high school, that's when I came to know the Lord. I was 16 years of age, and my professor saw quite a change in me, and he asked me if I would be interested in just addressing the class. And now I was in this was a Catholic high school that I was in, and there were about 33 students, I would say, in the classroom, and I asked the class, how many of you here believe in God? And out of the 33, about 30 of them raised their hands. I don't know whether that would still be true today in a lot of the classrooms in our city, but this is a Catholic high school, and about 30 of them raised their hands. And then my follow-up question was, how many of you here would say that you truly love God? And three people raised their hands. I have a feeling that that was a question that not many people were expecting to hear. They haven't heard that one before. They've been asked, do you believe in God? But not, do you love God? I mean, isn't that something that only fanatics do? Love God, and yet what's the greatest commandment that we read of in Scripture? That you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. So believing in God may be, you know, the first act of faith, but the first fruit of saving faith is love. Now, someone else that was asked this question is Peter. And so in John chapter 21, verse 15, and others as well, Jesus asks Peter, Peter, do you truly love me? Now, I think that Peter really should not have been caught off guard in terms of being asked questions, personal questions by Jesus. Because as we read through the New Testament, especially observing how Jesus discipled his disciples, we find that Jesus was always asking very personal questions. You know, we may get away with just having very general ideas of Christ and of Christianity, but, you know, and just professing doctrinal truths and things like that. But I tell you, when you're with Jesus, he's not just going to ask you, you know, what do you believe? He's going to ask you about your heart. He's going to ask you about your life. Remember, about a month ago, we looked at the story of when Jesus came walking on the water, and Peter says, call me, Lord, that I may come to where you are. And then eventually he sinks, and the Lord saves him. And do you remember what Jesus asked him? Peter, why did you doubt me? You ever been asked that question by Jesus? Peter, why did you doubt me? On another occasion when the disciples were in a storm as well, the Lord asks, you know, where is your faith? They were frightened by it, and Jesus says, where is your faith? Very personal question. At times Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. But he doesn't leave it there. He then follows up and says, now, do you believe this? He asks, who do men say that I am? Oh, good, a theoretical question, a cultural question. I can talk about these kind of things. And then at the end of that, Jesus says to his disciples, now, who do you say that I am? Wow. Or Thomas, show us the Father. And Jesus says, have I been with you all this time and still you don't know who I am? Or some may be calling the Lord, you know, singing to him, Lord, Lord. And Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do as I say? Wow. Or he might see someone in the audience anxious, and he asks, why are you worrying? Can you add a single hour to your life by worrying? Or maybe there's a quarrel going on between people, and Jesus comes alongside and says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? Or maybe after a worship service where we've been singing, Lord, how I love you, how I love you. Maybe if Jesus was at the door, he would have stopped us, and rather than saying thanks for coming, he would have whispered into our ear, you know, do you? Do you love me? Do you truly love me? Do you love me more than these? So that's what it was like to be a disciple and to be around Jesus. You know, we all talk about, you know, if you become a Christian and what Christianity is all about is having a personal relationship with Jesus. Well, here you have it. The questions Jesus asks are very personal, very personal. And really, you can't get more personal than this. I mean, Jesus is actually using his very name, Peter's very name. Peter, do you love me? And I think as we're here today, I would ask that each one of us, you know, when you hear that question, do you love me, put your name in the front, because that's how Jesus interacts with his disciples. He's very personal. Do you love me? And the other interesting fact about Jesus is that he sticks around to hear the answer. I remember when I used to work at a warehouse, there was this very friendly guy, and I remember we used to have this big washroom, and as I was walking into the washroom, he was walking out, and we had one of those swing doors, you know, so as I walk in and I swung the door open, and he's coming out and he says, hey, Vic, how are you? And as soon as I turn around, I see the door just closing like this, and he's gone. And I said, not very well, thank you, but you know, we ask questions to be polite. We ask questions because that's what we're supposed to do, but really deep down sometimes, you know, we're not really interested in the answer, but Jesus hangs around. I mean, my goodness, he asks Peter three times, do you love me? Do you? Three times. The Lord really wants an answer to that question. Now, let's just pause a little bit and reflect on who is it exactly that Jesus is asking this question to? Do you love me? You say, well, it's obvious. It's Peter. Yeah, but remember that Peter is actually a disciple. Peter is a believer. Jesus is asking disciples and believers, do you love me? And I believe that that's the primary group that Jesus is going to be asking that question to. I have an extended family member who tells me he's an atheist, and I remember having a discussion with him, and I can't remember how the discussions about the first commandment came up about love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. And he got very angry that I had mentioned, and he said, why should I love God? What has God ever done for me? Why is there so much evil in the world? And on the abuse came out. And that was before Christopher Hitchens wrote his book about, you know, God is not great. God is not lovable. And I would say, okay, well, you know, many atheists I have met are very angry at the God that they don't believe in. It seems, you know, there seems to be more going on than just unbelief there. But that's maybe what you would expect from some people. But what about you? You're a disciple of Jesus. You're not an atheist. Do you love him? That's the question. Peter represents believers here. I mean, if Christians don't love Jesus, who else should? Like, where else should you go to find somebody who really loves Jesus? I mean, I'm sure that angels love the Lord, but, you know, they were not saved like us. They were not saved by the gospel. So if you're a Christian, Christ wants to know, and he's waiting for an answer. Do you love me? Peter is also a leader in the church, right? I think that's an important question to ask leaders in the church. He's an apostle. Do you love me? Isn't that what we need to know from our leaders? Leaders, do you love Jesus? Because I can tell you that being in a leadership position doesn't automatically mean that somebody loves Jesus. I think Judas was in a leadership position. He certainly didn't love Jesus. Do you love Jesus? Is what you're doing right now, is it for the love of Jesus? Or is it for the money? Is it because you thought it would be a respectful life? Is it for attention? Is it to boss people around? Is it for praise? We'd agree that all of those are wrong motivations for somebody to be in leadership. But what if the response is, no, I'm in leadership because I want to help people. I want to advance the kingdom. I want to exercise my God-given gifts. Would that be the answer? Would that be the primary motive that Jesus is looking for? And I would say, as noble as those motives are, we're still falling short of what it means to be a believer in Jesus. When addressing the church in Ephesus, this is what Jesus says to the church. I know your deeds. I know your hard work. I know your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and you have endured hardships for my name, and you have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Wow. Church of Ephesus, leaders in Ephesus, do you still love me? You used to. I remember a time when you first came to know me and you received the gospel, you experienced forgiveness. I was the most precious person in the universe to you. You would have done anything for me. You loved me. But now, you know, after a number of years, it's like you You get busy with all your duties and your responsibilities and the problems and problem solving and all the issues and the planning and the organizing. Is love for Jesus still my primary motive in serving the Lord? Or have I lost sight of the purpose for why I was called into ministry? Leaders, do you love me? I would say that Peter also represents a recent backslider, right? It wasn't long ago that Peter was not walking with the Lord. I left him. I denied him. I sinned against the Lord. And now he stands before Jesus, and Jesus is speaking to a recent backslider, and he says to the backslider, "Do you love me?" Do you notice that he asks this question rather three times, "Do you love me?" Why? Why does he ask three times? Well, one answer that has been given to that question is that he asks him three times because, well, let me put it in the form of a question. Do you remember how many times Peter denied Jesus? Three times. So three times Jesus asks him, "Do you love me?" I don't think this is simply a tit for tat. I think this is a way of giving Peter a new start. He's restoring him into the ministry, and he's doing it in the presence of the other disciples. And he's essentially saying, "Look, Peter, your denial of me was in the past, but now I'm giving you an opportunity to profess your love, to proclaim it." And I believe this, that Jesus does this for backsliders, you know? He doesn't just look at the past and say, "Look what you've done." He says, "Okay, that happened. Let's start over. Let's start on the right foot. I want you to affirm your love and commitment today." And this is such a precious truth here that, you know, if we have sinned, if we have messed up, here's what we need to do. And this will make Satan angry. If you've backslidden, this is what you need to do. You need to love Jesus more now than ever you did before. That's what you need to do. So every time he reminds you of what you did in the past, do you remember when you denied him? Do you remember what you did? What you need to say is, "Yeah, I do remember. And that's why I love Jesus more now than ever, because he has given me a new start. He has forgiven me. I have a new beginning." That's what we need to do. You know, let's not just fall into the trap of getting, you know, just overcome with guilt about what had happened. To say, "My Savior is greater than my sin. The love of my Savior is greater than my sin. Oh, how he loves me. And oh, how I love him." Really important that you know, a backslider is asked this question, because you need to start over again. You need to get right in the right footing. So Peter represents a disciple. He represents a leader, represents a backslider. I wasn't sure whether to throw this in, but Peter's a guy. And guys don't always do very well with this question. Do you love me? Remember that story about when a wife complained that the husband you never tell me you love me anymore. And he says, "I told you I loved you when we got married, and if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know." Feel more comfortable that way. But yeah, sometimes, you know, grown men and the topic of love. I read this story that a man of around 35 had been to a men's movement weekend. And while away, he realized that he never told his father he loves him. So he decided that when he gets home, he's going to do it. And he gets home, he picks up the phone, and he calls home, and Dad answers the phone. And this is how the conversation goes. Hi, Dad, it's me. Oh, hi, son. I'll go get your mother. No, don't get Mom. It's you I want to talk to. And then there's a pause. Oh, what is it, son? You need money? No, Dad, it's just that I've been remembering a lot about you and the things you did for me, working all those years to put me through college and supporting us. You know, my life is going well now, and it's because of what you did. You got me started, and I just thought about it, and I realized I'd never said thanks. Silence on the other end of the phone. The son continues. I want to tell you, thanks. And Dad, just want to say, I love you. Silence on the other end of the phone. Son? Yeah, Dad? Son, have you been drinking? Awkward, but you know, this, do you love me? Or I love you? Like, oh man, these. So why does Jesus bring this topic up about love? It's who God is. And Jesus came to tell us about the love of God. It's what it's all about. God so loved the world. We were created in love, and we were created to love. And when we messed that up, we were saved to know the love of Christ, and we were saved now to love. It's like you're missing the whole point of life. You're missing the whole point of what it means to have a relationship with Jesus and with God if you leave out the topic of love. It's what it's all about. You're missing what being a Christian is all about if love is not at the very core and the very essence of what this relationship is about. You're missing it. That's what this is about. It's about love. Now, this question that Jesus asks, he goes on to say, do you love me more than these? Now, what exactly is he referring to when he says more than these? And there's been a whole number of interpretations about these. There are some who think, you know, do you love me more than, you know, the boats and the nets and basically the business and what you're doing, your career? You know, am I your supreme priority? And, you know, when Jesus was talking to the rich young ruler, Jesus said to him, one thing you lack. And really, it was his love of money. And so certainly in his case, you know, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than your riches? Do you love me more than your car, your sports, your career, your looks? And if you do, just be honest and say it. God, I want you to know that I love my car, I love my looks, I love my money, I love these things more than you. Just be honest. It's a question. Jesus expecting an honest answer. Others think maybe this is referring more to the people in Peter's life. I don't know, his friends, fellow disciples, wife, kids. And again, you know, Jesus did ask questions like that. He said, if any man loves father or mother more than me, he's not worthy to be my disciple. I would say that Adam ended up loving Eve more than he loved the Lord. And really, the universe was literally turned upside down as a result of it. The scriptures, Jesus taught us that our love for God must come before our love for all other things and all other people. It is the proper order. And just as we would be shocked if somebody would say, hey, I love my car more than I love my kids, well, likewise, it's a sin to love our kids more than we love God. It's the first and greatest commandment. There's another way to read this phrase, more than these, and I think this is the one that I think most plausible. That Jesus is reminding Peter, do you remember when you said that you loved me more than all these other disciples? Do you remember? They may all fall away, they may all leave you, but Lord, I want you to know that I will never leave you. Again, it was just such a foolish thing for Peter to boast about, you know. I love God more than you. It's just, it's like, really? Comparing, you know, that our love is actually making us proud. We're in competition with fellow believers. And really, I think that Jesus is humbling Peter right now. Do you really love me more than these? Remember your boast. When I call you to love me, it's not so that you'll become proud. It's not so that you'll see yourself as being better than other people. That's not the point of love, love for Christ. Something else that really stood out to me about this question that Jesus asks, do you love me more than these, is the timing of it, the context of it. It is being asked, right after Jesus died and right after Jesus was resurrected. It was then that he asks this question, Peter, do you love me? In other words, you know, Peter is standing in the presence of one who has just died for his sins, who has just laid his life down. And remember what Jesus had taught them, greater love has no man than this, than that he lay down his life for his friends. And then Paul even takes us further and says that Christ, you know, God demonstrated his love for us while we were yet sinners, he died for us. That's the depth of God's love. So think about this. Peter is being asked a question by Jesus, who just laid down his life for Peter. Peter, I have just demonstrated my love for you, willing to lay down my life for you. And then he asks the question, do you love me? See, I think it's really important that we remember the context of this. And so what is Peter's answer? Peter's answer is, I do, Lord. I do. Not, I think so. Not, maybe. Not, Lord, I should love you more. Not, give me some time to think about it. I mean, he's in the presence of somebody who loved him and gave his life for him. And he says, I do love you. Now, you know, even when we look back at what Peter did and the denial and everything like that, even then I would say that Peter loved Jesus. Because if Peter hadn't loved Jesus, he would not have gone out and wept bitterly because of what he did. Sometimes we break the hearts of those that we love. And sometimes we sin, but we still love the Lord. And we show that love by our repentance. And Peter just, you know, he just lays his life in the presence of the Lord and he says, look, Lord, you know me. You know me better than I know myself. You search my heart. You know everything that's there. I'm not going to, you know, I was foolish to boast. But he admits and he confesses. He says, I love you, Lord. Now, Jesus is going to go on to say, now, this is what I want you to do for me. But one of the passages that we find in Scripture where Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 15, he says, if you love me, keep my commands. And I think it's really important for us to just meditate on that passage. what exactly does that mean? So Jesus is going to say, okay, so if you love me, here's what I want you to do. So are we now going to, okay, do all kinds of stuff to just prove that we love him? Is that what Jesus is asking us to do? That it's all this stuff that we're doing, that's what proves that we love Jesus? Read this this story as an illustration. And again, it's really important that we keep in mind this order. Let me read it to you. There's an old story of a woman who found herself married to a nasty, abusive, dictatorial man. So controlling was he that he took the time to write out a comprehensive list of chores and rules and duties for her to follow. And even though she genuinely tried to fulfill his demands and please him, she could never measure up to the list. In time, he died, and eventually the woman remarried. And the man she married was the polar opposite of her first husband. He was kind and generous and loved her unconditionally. And several years into this marriage, the woman stumbled upon the old list from her former slave driver of a husband. And to her shock, she discovered that she was actually doing everything on his list for her new husband. But she was doing it easily, freely, and joyfully. Do you see the difference? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So we need to love him, as it were, before we start keeping the commandments. Okay? I realize that's not a way that we've often read that passage. But to love him means that we are drawn to him. We see a beauty in him. We see his glory. And we are in love with him. And then because we're in love with him, we start serving him. We start keeping his commandments. Do you see? Because otherwise, we start keeping his commandments, trying to win his love. But it is in the context of love that we will serve. And so Jesus says to Peter, if you love me, then feed my lambs and feed my sheep. By the way, do you see how quickly Jesus moves from if you love me, then love others? Do you see the connection there? If you love me, love others. If you love me, love the people whom I love. Teach them, nourish them, shepherd them, care for them. Peter, I will give them into your care. If you love me, love them. If we love Jesus, then we're going to want to worship him. That's where it's all going to start. We're just so thankful for who he is. We are drawn to him. We see a beauty in him. We see he's glorious. And once we see that, then we will want to see his kingdom expanded. We will want to see his people taken care of. We will want to see people coming to know Jesus. And every sacrifice that we will do will not even, you know, we will find that the word sacrifice shouldn't be used because we love Jesus. Friends, it's a mysterious thing, really, that God desires the love of our poor hearts. And he wants every disciple, really, I believe he wants every creature that he has made to love him, every person. And in Scripture, loving God, loving Christ, holds out the greatest gift and the greatest curse in Scripture. Let me just read you a couple of passages as we bring this to a close here. If anyone does not love the Lord, a curse be on him, says Paul, 1 Corinthians 16:22. Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Another verse. No eye has seen and no ear has heard what Christ has prepared for those who love him. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. In James 2:5, listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? You know, we're not doing any great thing to just say, I believe God exists. Even Satan knows that God exists. We're not complimenting God by, wow, he believes God exists. We are called to trust in Jesus, and then we are called to love Jesus. Do you love him? I ask you that question, and I ask myself that question. And we have the Lord's Supper to celebrate right now, and it speaks to us of this great love for us. I mean, Jesus' body was beaten for us, his blood was shed for us. Our sins are on his shoulders. The wrath of a just God is absorbed by Jesus. There is no doubt that he loves us. There's no doubt about it. He has demonstrated it. So I just pray that this morning as we come to the table, that we also will say, Lord, I come. And Jesus, you know all things. You know that I love you.